Hello, and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse packet is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390. 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
Amen. Great singing today. How many of you were singing your very best? I asked that question already, right? You know, tomorrow, most of us don't realize this, but tomorrow is Constitution Day. How many of you own a copy of the Constitution? You have your own personal copy of the Constitution. I'm impressed. You have two copies of the Constitution? Not your personal constitution, the one that was ratified. Well, he was there. Yeah, he was there. So because it's Constitution Day and because not everyone has a constitution, we're going to give out free to everyone today a copy of the Constitution. So, guys, if you could do that, please notice our ushers dressed in their amazing Calvary Chapel usher outfits. Look better than the ushers at the Great Hall in Ocean Grove. Our guys are looking good, but if you didn't get these are free. We just want you to have one. It's the exact wording of the original one, so there's a little bit of, you know, these and thous and ifs and don'ts and stuff like that in it, but it's a good thing to have. It talks about amending it and everything. You know, I like what George Washington says in one of the quotes about him. He says, if to please the people we offer what we ourselves disapprove, how can we afterwards defend our work? In other words, we got to make sure we do this right and we're happy with it. Then he says, let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hand of God. In other words, we're going to create an imperfect document that later on, maybe we have to fix more, but let's do our best to do it. So it's a great little thing to do. You can read the Constitution, honestly, in about 25 minutes, maximum. So go home this afternoon, trying to get some rest. Read the Constitution, then read the book of Revelation or something like that to balance it out, all right? Jay, I'm sorry. I took your time. Go ahead and sing, my friend.
All right. I'll give you all my worship. I'll give you all my praise. You alone, I long to worship. You alone are worthy. Oh,
Amen. Jesus alone. Right? Even though someone somewhere will raise himself or herself to be God, but we know there's only one God, and that's Jesus. Amen. So let's focus on him. We dedicate our lives to him. Our hands, our feet, our days, everything about us. Let's all stand. Sing with me. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless prayer. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be
filled with messages,
filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you choose.
My will, make it thine.
Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at your feet. It's treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
Take my will
and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour
your feet in treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all.
Take myself
and I will be ever only all for thee.
Can we pray together? Lord, we thank you today for your presence in our lives. Lord, though we say, take my life and let it be, though we present our hands and our arms and our minds and our feet and our bodies to you, Lord, we are keenly aware of the struggle that we have every day in making that a reality. Lord, I know this past week it's been a struggle. I know this coming week it will be a struggle. Lord, I want to be a wise person. I want to live in wisdom. Help me. Help me. Help me not to believe that wisdom is a shot that you get in the arm and everything's better. But Lord, help me believe that wisdom is a process of eating right, sleeping right, exercising right, and becoming a wise person. Lord, I am grateful today for these, my brothers and sisters. I pray your hand to be upon each of us. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who's not come to that place where Jesus Christ has become their personal Savior, we pray, Lord, that today might be that day. Work in all of us, Lord, the thing that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. As you're getting seated, I invite your attention to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. If you're using a Bible, we will put everything on the screen for you. We're just that kind of group of people. But also, if you will open your bulletin, you'll see a fancy outline that kind of helps you follow along. We're in a series called Living iSmart in an eStupid World. Today, we're going to talk about iPriorities with a passage of Proverbs 2 and 3. This is our series that will play out over the next few weeks and really months, really through December. Our memory verse this week, and we gave out memory packets last week. If you didn't get one, be sure to get one today, is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's see if we can read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Very powerful verse. Most of us probably have heard these verses some other time in our life. Is that accurate? Well, as we begin to talk about Proverbs today, I think I have seen an incredibly powerful illustration, regretfully, of our struggle with this whole idea of wisdom. If you didn't notice, there's a huge storm that's come through North Carolina. We need to keep our brothers and sisters in Christ there in prayer, as well as everybody. But there were warnings after warnings after warnings after warnings. Get out! Get out! Get out of all these towns. Here's the wild thing. As soon as the storm hit, people were calling and asking to be rescued who'd been told to evacuate. Living iSmart in a okay. So there may have been reasons that they had to stay. I don't know. But I can't imagine that all of them had to stay. And it shows that oftentimes, as human beings, we have the right information. It's the application that is the issue. Information doesn't help me without the application. And that's true with wisdom. Wisdom is not simply knowing the facts. It's applying the facts and knowing how to apply the facts. We're going to continue our series here talking about that because it's very, very critical. And today we're going to talk about three important elements about wisdom. We're going to talk about receiving wisdom. We're going to talk about retaining wisdom. And then whether or not we keep following wisdom or not through the rest of our lives. Here in iPriorities. So let's begin with the what of priorities. What should be my priorities and yours in this life? Receiving wisdom must be an I priority. It must be something that I personally decide is going to be part of my life, and not in a minor way. It must be a priority. So if you look at your notes and the screen, you'll see Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." I hope you see in this, there seems to be some sweat. You know, there's this receiving, this making, this inclining, this calling, this raising the voice, this seeking and searching. The fact that it says, "my son," gives us this sense it's a parent to their child. A parent to their child. You know, sooner or later, children grow up and they leave. That is actually the goal, right? They grow up and they leave. And in their leaving, we're at the end there. So we need to pump them with as much parental instruction as we can. But this is an if-then proposition. Receive, it says, "my word." Grasp or accept it by choosing. Wisdom and the way of wisdom is a choice. Don't be playing no victim with me. I've been in the hood long enough. Well, my parents weren't this. This wasn't true. This wasn't true. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Get out. Choose wisdom. It's a choice. Choose up. And then treasure up my commands. Collect and store. Store this. So choose up, store up. Make ears attentive. Do you see that you have the option to do that? You can make your ears what? Attentive. Give heed attentively. So listen up. Incline the heart. Outstretch the heart. Bend the heart. Warm up. Cry up. Call out and raise your voice. Seek and search as silver and hidden treasure. Focus up. If I told you there was $2 million of silver coin in the back buried, that'd be a great way to get a cellar built in the base out back. You guys would dig it up in a heartbeat. That's the focus we're supposed to have toward wisdom. So look at it. Choose up. Store up. Listen up. Warm up. Cry up. Focus up, and guess what will happen? Then you'll wise up. Then you will wise up. I will understand the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and I will find the knowledge of God. But it starts with those situations. This is the way I want it to happen. I'm in trouble. I need to make a decision. I just want to sit somewhere and say, "Okay, God, do it. Impart it right now." You said if anyone lacks wisdom, I'm asking you. I'm asking. Come on. I want it to come to me that way. But wisdom isn't a shot. Wisdom is a process. And once you're involved in a process, yes, then God can help you to become wise. But God doesn't simply just drop it into you, you having had no part in it for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. We have an example here of a guy named Solomon. Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Those of you who have been involved in the New York Institute for Biblical... Linda Rosario, you should not say that with any reservation. You've had the poetry books. who wrote the book of Proverbs, Linda? Solomon, thank you. Bad advertisement for the school, wow. So Solomon becomes king of Israel. And God appears to him. And he says, you know, what do you want? What does Solomon say? I want money. Give me women. That's another story with Solomon we'll talk about another week. But notice what he says. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people? And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And Solomon was imparted what? Wisdom. Not just a little bit of wisdom, lots of wisdom. And he wound up with the riches as well. But he began by being a person filled with wisdom. So the first thing I need to be doing is receiving wisdom. The second thing, though, is I must retain the wisdom that I receive. It's not just about having it, it's about keeping it. My greatest frustration in my present experience in life is remembering things. Anyone have that problem? Yeah, mine is a terrible thing. Not to waste, it's just a terrible thing. And it particularly bothers me with reference to the book of Proverbs. Because I'll read a chapter of Proverbs and I won't retain it, but I know I need it. Does anyone else understand what I'm saying? I need to have this in me, but I don't seem to be able to hold it as well. It says here, my son, do not forsake my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Why? For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. They make this huge difference, God's wisdom. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Notice what it's telling us to do. Don't forget this. Have your heart keep it, because it affects the quantity and quality of life that you have. The negative command is don't forget, ignore, or overlook my teaching. But let your heart keep my commandments. Man, just be so settled in your heart that you don't forget it. And what kind of quantity of life? For length of days and years of life are in it. Why? Less stress, less aggravation, less frustration. Why? Because you're doing what Proverbs says. And then my quality of life is peace. They will add to you. Learning the Proverbs and living by the Proverbs gives you so much peace. I hope that you find the Proverbs practical. I do. So I kind of think of myself as a know-it-all. That's a problem I have. Anyone else here a know-it-all? Yeah, nobody here will admit it. Well, that's good. You can just listen to me. But I'm always tempted to insert myself into situations that I have no business putting myself in, because I know it all. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs? It says if a man or a woman gets involved in a situation not their own, it's like grabbing a dog by the ears. Has anyone here grabbed a dog by the ears? You know what we call a person who grabs a dog by the ears? Stupid. And perhaps amputee. You don't grab a dog by the ears. You just don't do that. So every time I see myself inserting myself into a situation that's not my business, I hear those words and I see myself grabbing a dog by the ears. Whoa, this is dumb. Don't get involved. Don't get involved. The Bible talks about not arguing with a fool. Anyone here ever argue with a fool? Whoa, oh. How's that gone for you? What a waste of time. What a waste of time. There's no peace when you do that. There's no peace when you get involved in a matter not your own. What does Proverbs tell us to do? It makes it clear. It makes it clear. One of the more famous Proverbs is found in Proverbs chapter 11 that says that the person who troubles their own house will inherit the wind. It's actually the title of a novel. But what it means is you mess up your house. You get in a little bit of an angry thing, and you just destroy your house. What's your inheritance? None. So be real careful before you start messing with your house. Because the end is you'll inherit what? Nothing. Proverbs is incredibly practical. It also says here not to forsake, but bind and write, and we'll have favor with God and man. Don't let loving kindness and trustworthiness abandon you, qualities that come from wisdom. Bind them on the neck. That's the externalization of them. Wear them like a necklace on your neck, and then write them on your heart. Internalize them. Externalize them, internalize them. Why? They're valuable. They're important. They need to be in front of you all the time. How often? All the time. And then I'll have success both in the eyes of God, which is the most important thing, and in the eyes of men. Here's our man Solomon again. Note our man Solomon. He retains wisdom. Later on in his life, seven chapters later, the Queen of Sheba visits him and says to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard." Solomon, you are one wise guy. You receive knowledge and you retain wisdom. You received wisdom, you retain. You held on to this. You held on to this throughout your life. You thought about it and you applied it. Well, let's talk now about the why of I priorities. Why should I do this? My priorities need to be to receive and retain wisdom. Now, in our world, we don't talk that way. We say what you need to do is get money or get friends or get power. Those things will not last, and they do not always serve you well. But wisdom. What's the value of wisdom? Well, the value of wisdom should make it my I priority. Note the words of Proverbs 3:13 through 15. It says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." Now watch this. "For the gain from her is better than gain from" what? "Silver. And her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire can compare with her." Wow. So if I said today, here's your option. I'm going to give you $500,000 or you can be a wise person. Well, now, I have to ask you a question. Are you going to tithe on the $500,000? I just want to know that. Watch this. This is an easy life lesson to learn. The people who have won the lottery, given $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, $5 million, $10 million, $32 million, after 10 years, how many of them have that money? Almost none. That's a statistical fact. Because it doesn't matter if you have money if you don't know how to use money. And if someone gives you money and you've never gotten the skill on how to use money, guess what? You're going to lose all the money. A fool and their money are soon what? Parted. So you win the money in the lottery. That answers the question how you got it in the first place. But then what happens? It's gone. How many of people who have won the lottery would say that they're happy? Wow. Does it give them a longer life? So what's better, wisdom or money? Wisdom is more valuable to me than any profit I can realize. Proverbs 8, 10, 11 says, "Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." Than any pleasure I can fulfill. Proverbs 24, 13 and 14. "My son, eat honey." It says, "Eat honey. And the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future and your hope will not be cut off. Than any prize I can pursue." Wisdom is more valuable than. "Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Than any possession I might have." Listen to your father who gave your life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Spend your life, spend what you can on wisdom so that you might become a wise person. Is wisdom costly? Yes. You can pursue the almighty dollar, and what can the almighty dollar buy you? A few things. Or you can use your resources to get wisdom, and then you can have more than you can ever want. The benefits of wisdom should make it an high priority. The value, yes, but the benefits. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, and those who hold her fast are called what? Blessed. Do you see how this section begins and ends with what word? Blessed. Why? Because a blessed person is someone who's blessed by God, but they're also enviable. You look at them and go, man, I wish I had that life that they had. Wow, that's so different. Wow, what makes the difference in them? Wisdom. I love that the fact in these verses, all of these verses, wisdom is personified as what? A woman. Now, as you read Proverbs, it's a dad talking to his son, using the words of a woman. She is imparting, like a mom, the words that are needed by her children. Wisdom benefits me by bringing me success. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. And all God's people said, what are you talking about? When it says here, the iron is blunt, the iron is an axe. I can tell you from personal experience, you use a blunt axe, I got to tell you, you got to kill yourself to split wood. Done it. I think my stepdad was having some fun with me. I mean, you are pounding the wood. You can't get it through. And then, it's halfway in, But a sharp axe, shoo, like butter. We have an expression in our world for this. You can work hard or you can work what? Smart. How do you work smart? Wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom sharpens the edge of the knife, sharpens the edge of the axe. And then we don't have to kill ourselves to live and make a living. Cuts, and we succeed. Wisdom blesses me by providing me security. Whoever trusts in his own mind, this verse is painful, is what? Fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. So when I do what my mind tells me to do, does that mean my mind is always wrong? Not necessarily, but it means that I should consult God first, because I can be fooled, have been fooled. By giving me satisfaction, whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. We have such a crazy world. People don't have the sense God gave frogs, and common sense is no longer common. But it provides great satisfaction when we have it. And it lays out for us a strategy. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. By what? Wisdom. By wisdom, I develop a life. I develop a wise life. I develop a beautiful life. I develop a life that's worth living. And by it makes me strong. It blesses me by making me strong. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory. Where do we find this wisdom, 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 wisdom? Now we come to the hardest part today. The how of I priorities. Wisdom's supposed to be a priority. Receiving it, retaining it. How do I do it? Remember our memory verse? Trust who? In the Lord. With all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, Acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The I priority prescription, trust in who? The Lord. It's a simple command. Trust, rely on, put confidence in essence, to believe in a person or object to the point of relying upon them. Throw yourself upon the Lord, fully trusting in him. No escape routes, no plan B. No, if God doesn't come through, though, I could always. Now, confession. I don't want this to leave this room, or those of you listening by radio, don't you be telling your friends I said this, all right? My problem is not a plan B this way. My problem is this. I will say in my head, okay, God, show me your way. But in my mind, in the back somewhere, I'm thinking, if I don't like his way, I'll modify it slightly. I'll take some of it into consideration, and then I'll kind of, you know, it'll look like I'll say the right words. Anybody know anybody like that? Trust in the Lord. Where do I put my trust in Yahweh? It's God's Old Testament covenant name. the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God of Abraham and Israel. What do we trust the Lord for? We have to trust God for salvation. God has provided salvation in Jesus Christ. Salvation means I believe what God says about me. I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I cannot save myself. If you think you can save yourself and by your good works you can somehow get right with God, then you're not trusting what God says about you. You're trusting about what you heard about you from someone else or from some, you know, Near Eastern philosophy or something. I trust God for our salvation by believing what he says about me and trusting his solution. His solution is that I ask Christ into my life to be my Savior. He died for my sin, rose again. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I need him. But we also trust God for our strength, for our protection, for our guidance, for our provision. When or what do we choose in trusting him? Or whom or what do we choose when we don't trust him? We're trusting ourselves. We're trusting other people. We're trusting other gods. Please remember this. You cannot base your life on what other people say. Don't base your life on what I say or any leader here says. Base your life on what the Bible says. Because we very well could be wrong. We could say the wrong thing and make a mistake. And then what would happen? Trust what God says. Trust what God. Hopefully we give you godly advice, but it's never perfect advice. It has to line up with what the scripture says. Now, don't be the type of person who goes, well, that was, I can find that, I see it in the Bible and everything, but I don't like that, I'm going to find somebody else. Tell me what I want to hear. Don't be that way. But trust what God says and look to what God says. Well, I mean, I got to read the Bible. I got to look all this stuff and decide for myself. Yeah. I can trust the little God of money, the little God of power, the little God of me, but I must trust in the Lord. And how do we trust in the Lord? Through knowing him, through praying and praying and praying, and through instruction. Let me just say a word about praying. Sometimes as you're praying, God actually changes what you're praying about, because God fixes you and me to pray as we ought to. So we start out with a prayer, and then the prayer changes. Why? We go, God, obviously, it's been 18 years, 6 months, and 4 days. You're not answering this way. Maybe I need to say that that's a no. And I need to adjust my prayer. I'm not going to stop praying about it, but I'm going to adjust my prayer. Does that make sense? So where today is my trust? And then it says how much I'm to trust him. With what? All my heart. With the whole of my heart. Holy. The Hebrew word here is the inner, for heart means the inner part of us, the center of us, the place of the mind, emotions, and will. And it says, trust him with your heart. It's a personal choice. I choose to trust him. I can't make you trust God. I don't even know if you really are.
But it's the place we put our trust that's the most important. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Next week we'll talk about the heart in the book of Proverbs. So I trust him wholly. And here's the prohibition. And do not lean on your own understanding. Does anyone have a problem with that? You got all this life experience. You see what's in front of you. And you go, you know what? This is easy. I'm just going to. You remember Joshua in the book of Judges? He gets fooled by that nation, the Gibeonites, who live right near him. He said, you know, they come, they make their food look old. They look like they're tired from a trip. They make their equipment look old, and they give him this great line. We heard about you, and we've come from afar to help you and live after your own God. And Joshua takes the bait. He believes his senses. He believes the reports about his fame. He believes his eyes, his ears, his nose. He believes those things. And the Gibeonites were lying. And he's stuck with a treaty with them forever. So I can't lean on my own understanding. Lean not means to lean oneself against, but I'm not to do it. Upon your own insight, your understanding. And remember, my understanding, your understanding, is very, very, very limited. I struggle with this all the time. Because I like to see the end. Anybody here like that? I like to see the end. I like to be able to figure out all the pieces. Every part. So if I feel like God is telling us something or I'm reading his word and it's clear he wants us to live in such a way, I try to say, okay, now how will that play out? Let me see how that plays out. Oh, I can't do that, God. It doesn't play out right. God asked me to trust him even though I can't trace him, even though I can't see how it all plays out the way I want it to play out. He just wants me to trust him. And he wants you to do the same. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 and 6 tell us that the Lord's statutes are our wisdom and are our understanding. And Proverbs 28:26 reminds us, I can't trust my own heart. I can't trust my own mind. So every time I'm tempted to follow my heart or my instincts, the words that I should scream are, not! Not! Stop! Stop! Let's pray it through. Let's see what the scripture says. Let's inquire of the Lord. That's the way I need to live. Deuteronomy 4:6 says, keep them, it talks about God's statutes, and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people. Who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be awesome if the world saw Christians as wise and understanding people? Instead, they think we're a bunch of suckers. Because sometimes we are the most gullible people in the world when we ought to be filled with wisdom. Proverbs 28:26, whoever trusts in his own mind is what? Fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Whoever trusts in his own mind is what? Fool. Wow. Wow.
I like the pastor's sermon except about that fool part.
So I worship or I trust in him wholly, and I trust in him how? Exclusively. High priority gives us this principle. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Our ways are our road, our path, our walk, the different segments of life and seasons of life that we might go through. In all our ways, the whole of our ways, in the many different paths of life I may find myself in, I am to trust him and nightly not on my own understanding. I am to do this in my job. I am to do this in my home. I am to do this in my office, in my recreation, in my marriage,
in my dating life, in my family life, as kids, when I'm in my teens, when I'm in my 20s, when I'm in my 30s, when I'm in my 40s, when I'm in my 50s, when I'm in my 60s, when I'm in my 70s, when I'm in my, well, I am to ask him in those arenas of my life, wherever I am at whatever stage, God, what do you want me to do? God, help me through this. In all my ways, trust him. And he will what? Direct my path. I acknowledge him in these ways. I get him intimately involved. I give him his rightful place at the table, the head. I listen to him because my ways are not his ways, and my thoughts not his thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's ways and thoughts are above mine. So diversely, wholly, exclusively, and diversely, I trust him, leaning not on my own understanding. And then it says this, and he will make straight your paths. What does that mean? Doesn't say he's going to make your road easy. The emphasis here is he personally gets involved. And what does he do? He'll direct. The word direct here means to make smooth or level, to make bumpy elevations all the same or virtually the same elevation so that we can get to the appointed end. Not an easy road, but the road in which the obstacles can and will be over. Come, and he will direct our steps. If you can find a path with no obstacles, probably doesn't lead anywhere. So if you say, I'm looking for the easy way, you're in the wrong building, man. You're in the wrong life. There are no easy ways. We live in a broken world, and what God enables us to do is to make it to the end, to make it to where we're supposed to be. He clears the obstacles as we trust in him. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. And Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. The Lord, the covenant-making and keeping God of Abraham, Israel, has a history. Solomon example number three. Look what it says about Solomon. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. Whew. Solomon received wisdom. Solomon retained wisdom. But what did Solomon do? He rejected wisdom. Solomon chose a lifestyle that was wrong. And then he found himself a theology that fit it. Almost everyone I meet has a theology that coincides with their lifestyle. They find a lifestyle that fits whatever they're doing. I have met people who have said to me through the years, I don't believe in divorce except for adultery or desertion. And then I met them years later. They say, yeah, we got a divorce. We just grew apart. Well, I thought you... Well, you know, the Bible makes some other exceptions in this and this and this, and we're all under grace. Okay, I understand. You have a theology that fits what you decided to do. You'll get yourself in trouble that way. Get yourself a theology, and then live according to the theology. And when you fail, be like David. David had the right theology, and he sinned with Bathsheba, true or false? And then he stood before God, and he said, God, I've failed. I've messed up. He didn't blame it on something else. He didn't make an excuse. He just accepted responsibility. I am so much better off when I do that. If I confess and forsake, I am so much better off. Well, what will my iSmart priorities require that I do? What is this anyway that I have on a screen? Looks like a floor plan, doesn't it? It's a floor plan of a house. What room is off limits to the Lord? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Give him his place in every area of our life. Oh, Jesus, come on in. Sit here in the living room. Isn't it nice with the fireplace? Jesus, can we sing Kumbaya?
Kumbaya. Oh, it's so good to be here. Lord, come into the dining room. Will you say grace for us? Oh, that was wonderful. Lord, come into the master bedroom. Look around. Bathrooms are clean. Go into the spare bedroom. It's great. Lord, what you doing looking in that closet? Get away from that closet. In all your ways, what? Give him full
quiet. Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse pack is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390, 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.